Praise God. I'm so excited and very honored to be here today at Cherish Conference. We don't take this for granted. It's always an honor to stand beside my husband to bring God's word to you. So I would like to say, first of all, thank you to everyone at the Liberty Church London, and especially Pastors Shola and Bimbo Fola Alade. We are so honored and so grateful that you've given us this opportunity to bring God's word to God's precious people. So I'll just get right into it because I have a few minutes to do this. Pastor Kingsley started us off on speaking to the singles about finding the one. And he gave us such amazing and very powerful practical points on how we can choose who to marry. And the truth is that all those points are very valid and very necessary, in fact, very essential if you're going to choose the right person to spend the rest of your life with. I know that he has emphasized things like choosing someone who is a Christian, someone who has character, and all those things are very important. Making sure that you marry your friend, because the truth is that marriage is really about friendship. And one of the best things you can do for yourself is marry someone who for the rest of your life you will enjoy being with. Because marriage is not to be endured, it's to be enjoyed. So how much more if it's someone who you enjoy being with? Imagine being connected with someone. The only times I find people complain about us saying that marriage is for life is when people find that they're in the wrong marriage. If you're in the right marriage, which was God's original plan, the truth is that you will really agree with me that marriage is for life and it should be enjoyed. So now I want to bring a different angle to what Pastor Kingsley has been teaching us and really to tie it up. I find that a lot of times we have suddenly become so natural, even though we are first spirit beings. And so God expects us as spirit beings to be supernatural, to bring our spiritual lives to the forefront of everything that we do. We shouldn't just live our spirit lives in church on Sunday. We should find a way of incorporating everything into our everyday lives. And so when picking a spouse, I know that you must look out for the major things that Pastor Kingsley has already taught us. But I want to bring this angle to it, which is what I call the God factor. The truth is that there must always be the God factor when it comes to choosing the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. And if you are a single person, and of course we're speaking to the singles first, we'll get around to talking to the married people later. But for the single folks, I need you to understand that you can save your marriage even before it starts. The best place to make the decisions that will affect how well your marriage turns out is before you even get married. So the choice of who to marry is as important as marriage itself, if not more important. And so I like to always tell people that the source of a thing is its sustenance. If God is the source of your marriage, he will be the one to sustain your marriage. But if you think that you can do it on your own, which is where most of us really make the mistake, we get to a point in our lives where we begin to think that we can take over the role of God in our lives, where we think that I have it figured out. As I like to say, I got this. And the truth is, you don't got nothing. God is the only one who sees the future of a thing. He sees the end of a matter and then begins it. So if you've never lived before, you don't know the future, then it only makes sense to submit your life to the one who knows the future and who has a plan. And as Christians and as children of God, you must understand that it should be a normal thing for us to be led by God. Now, I know that because we live in a natural world, sometimes our spiritual senses can be dulled. So sometimes it seems as if God doesn't need to get involved in picking someone I want to marry. In fact, people preach those kind of sermons, like just, you know, be smart about it. But the truth is that God wants to get involved in every area of your life. Let's start with Psalm 32, verse 8 to 9. I'll read you the Passion Translation. Because it's so important that you understand that God is interested in every tiny detail of your life, who you choose to marry, when you get married, how you plan your marriage. God is interested in every area of your life. Psalm 32, verse 8 to 9, the New Living Translation, and it says, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." So that tells me that there's a pathway for your life, but there's a best pathway. And God says, I will advise you and I will guide you. Some of the translations say, I will guide you with my eyes, but it says there's a best pathway. So you can decide to pass many other ways, But there's one. It's the best one. And if you will listen for God's advice, God will lead you on the best pathway for your life. And I know that God is interested in guiding you. He says, He wasn't cajoled. He wasn't compelled. He suggested that I can lead you on the best pathway for your life because God knows your path and He knows the way you should go. Another reason why I say that we need to bring the God factor in when we're choosing someone is that the truth is everything may look good. The person might be in Christ. The person may have good character. The person may even be your friend. But the person may not be good for you. The person may be good, but not good for you. And only God really can tell you. Because God doesn't look on the outside. God searches the heart. And God knows the intent of the heart. And God knows the future of each individual and the purposes and plans He has for their lives. So you may actually have someone who has all the 10 qualities that Pastor King has mentioned in his book. But at the end of the day, you must still find out what is God saying. Because we are God's children at the end of the day. So He has to have a say in our marriage. Proverbs 14 verse 12 tells us that there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So there may be a way that you think, this is the way that I should go. This guy looks great. He's nice. He's kind. He's everything I've ever wanted in a man. He's tall. He's dark. He's handsome. He's rich. And he loves the Lord. Why am I still praying? He has everything I want. But the Bible says that there's a way that seems right to man. Why? Because man doesn't know everything. God does. So you must always invite God when making this decision. And the reason why I say that you should invite God is John 14 verse 26. We have the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we do not really take advantage of the blessing that the Holy Spirit is in our lives. John 14 verse 26 tells us that, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, says He will teach you all things. Not some things. He will teach you all things. And He says, and He will remind you of everything I have said to you. So everything you've read in the scripture, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance and He will bring it alive. Says He will teach you all things, including who to marry. Who to marry is something that needs to be taught by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you can figure out on your own. Now, I know that there is no the one, but there is a kind of one for you to marry. So what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to share my own story. Because these are not just things that we have heard or seen, but these are truths that my own hand have handled. So I'm here to share with you my story so that maybe it can bring light to someone. Maybe it can encourage someone to press into God before making such important decisions. So I started out my dating. Okay, I was there dating. I was dating a guy that was a doctor. We had dated for about 5 years. We met when we were in school. I'm going to keep it as brief as I can. We met when we were in school and when you're in your final year as a single person, people start to tell you things like, oh, have you received? Because I finished from OAU. They used to say things like that back then. Have you received? Have they received you? Have you received a brother? And so, of course, at the end, I was about to leave. It was 2 weeks before I left school. And so this guy proposed to me. And because we're Christians, we knew where this was going. It wasn't a let's see how this goes, you know. And so when he proposed to me, I said to him, before I say yes or no, I need to let you know that I have been diagnosed with polycystic ovary syndrome. And that means the doctors had said to me that I may not be able to have a child. And so, of course, the guy went his way, thought about it. Maybe the Lord spoke to him, or maybe he just felt he could move on. I don't know. And he came back. And so we started this relationship. And we're in the relationship of 5 years. We did our introduction. He went to the UK to do his master's while I was doing my master's back here in Nigeria. Because while I was doing my master's, at some point I think it was about 2 weeks or a week before my exam. So we're doing tutorials in school. And so that morning I was getting ready to go and have tutorials with some of my friends. And so I was about to take a bath. And so I walked into the bathroom and I felt such a strong presence of God. And the truth is, I have built my relationship with God, which is important for everyone. Whether you're single or married, you must have a very strong relationship with God. You must have a vibrant relationship with God such that you hear His voice, you know His voice. Say, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. You must know God's voice. You must understand how God speaks to you. And so for me, over time, I'd always known when God wants to speak to me. I know the signs. I know I hear His voice. And so that morning, Holy Spirit said to me, I want to speak to you. And I knew because I felt the presence of God. So I went back into my room and I got on my knees and I started praying. And so while I was praying, I had this old CD. I mean, this was years ago. So I had this old CD player, which I had Donnie McClurkin's CD in it. And it was this song, Yes, I Will Trust You, Lord. And so the song was in the CD player, but there was no light. I live in Nigeria, so there was no light. And so while I was praying, the light came on. And it was at the point where he was saying, Yes, I will trust you, Lord. And he was asking him, so what if I ask you to give up the very thing you hold so dear? And he said, Yes, I will trust you, Lord. And I was singing along from the depths of my heart. I was really singing because I really meant it. Like, there's nothing God would ask me for that I wouldn't trust him with. I said, what if I ask you to let go of the thing you hold so dear? I said, Yes, I will trust you, Lord. And so after worshiping, I started reading my Bible. And while I was reading my Bible, I noticed that I was reading about the woman at the well, when Jesus met the woman at the well. And Jesus said to this woman, give me water. And she said, wow, you must really be thirsty for you, a Jew, to be asking a Samaritan for water. And then Jesus said, if you knew the person and the gift of God that was asking you for water, you would ask him for water so that you will never thirst again. And they went into this whole banter about, you don't even have buckets to fetch water. How do you intend to give me water and all of that? And then Jesus said, but the water that I give, if you drink it, you will never thirst again. And then this woman, being a very smart woman, said, please give me this water. And you'll find that in John 4 from verse 15. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And he told her, go and call your husband and come back. And the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. And at that point, it looked like someone used a highlighter pen, those yellow-colored ones, to just mark that line that says, and the man you now have is not your husband. And that scripture literally jumped at me, and I knew, like I knew my name, that God was speaking to me, and he was speaking to me about my five-year relationship. And so, there began my journey of pressing into God. I couldn't believe it. We're done introduction. We're done everything. And I was like, God, how can you do this to me? How can you ask me to break this off now? This guy didn't do anything to me. He's born again. He's a great guy. He has amazing prospects. And of course, he was a doctor. And then, of course, I was now thinking, okay, if I'm ever going to do IVF, already have a doctor, so he'll probably give me an injection, then we'll have sex, then give me an injection. Like, I had planned out my life, literally. And so this was just, it just seemed crazy. Like, God, how can you do this? And so this guy didn't do anything to me. So how am I even going to break up with him? So I said to God, even though it's not fleecing isn't right. But I said to God, this is really you, Lord. Then you have to get him to end it because, I mean, he didn't do anything to me. So I said that to God. And then the next day we're having a conversation because he usually would call me. So we're having this conversation. And then halfway into the conversation, he says to me, I don't know what's going on. I'm not feeling you. Are you okay? I'm fine. And we're talking. And then he goes, I don't know. I'm not feeling you. I feel like I'm losing you. I said, I'm okay. And we kept going on and on. At some point, he just said, you know what? I'm done. Let's just end this relationship. And he dropped the phone. I was in shock. I cried. But I knew I had asked this of God. And God had done this. And so the next morning, he calls me back and he says he's sorry. He doesn't know what came over him. And I said to him, no, it's over. It's over. You said it's over. So maybe it's over. He said, no. He was begging. He was crying. And this is where it gets hard. Because the truth is, there are times that God will ask you to do something. You know it's God, but your emotions may get in the way. And so here I was with someone who I felt I was in love with, begging me to be in a relationship with him. But I knew what God was saying to me. And the truth is, we have free will. God is never going to force you. But God really expects that if you love him, you would trust him. And so I kept insisting, no, this is God's way of getting me out of this. I'm not going to go back in. And so even though the guy kept on begging me and saying, let's get back together, I knew, like I knew my name, that this was God's rescue. Now, what I said to God along the journey was that I prayed this prayer and I said, God, please bypass my emotions and do what is best for me. And at some point, I also started praying that God, the same way you said to me, because this is how you've always spoken to me. God has always spoken to me so clearly through the word. I said, the same way you told me who not to marry is the way I need you to tell me who to marry. And so along the way, I became friends with Pastor Kingsley. Well, we went to secondary school together, but we're never friends. Because in secondary school, I was born again and he wasn't. So our paths never, literally never crossed. Yeah, we had mutual friends, but our paths never crossed. And so we're doing a reunion for my secondary school. It was 10 years after we had left school. Was it 10 or 20 years now? I don't remember. So we're doing a reunion, I think 10 years after school. And then he was among people that called and came to my house. A long story. I really don't want to drag into all of that. So they called for the reunion. And I really wasn't a fan of my secondary school. I was bullied a lot in school. So I really wasn't looking forward to going back to do any reunion with them. I didn't even know why they all wanted to hang out again. And so he called me. It was one of the people that called me. Do you remember me? I was like, yeah, just be polite. I said yes and all of that. And so they did a couple of meetings, which I didn't attend. Now, God still orchestrated it in such a way that they did a meeting and they came to my street to hold the meeting. But of course, I still didn't attend. And so after the meeting, because my husband is a pastor, my husband now is a pastor, and he had a habit and a culture of follow-up. And so he said, all the people that didn't come for the meeting, let's go and follow them up. And so he came to my house. So someone said, oh, Mildred even lives down the road. So they went to see one of my friends who brought them to my house. Now, it was dark. And I thank God. That's one of the few times I thank God. For those of you who live in Nigeria, who've at any point lived in Nigeria, you will know NEPA. So I thank God for NEPA, the ministry of NEPA that day. There was no light in my house because I had just losing braids. And women know that when you're losing braids, it's not a very good sight. So I was in my house and they came down. There was no light. And so they dragged me down. I came down just to be polite. Had a few laughs because a few of my friends were there. Had a few laughs, exchanged numbers with everyone. Not only with him, with everyone. And then I went back upstairs and literally forgot about it. So the day of the reunion, a few days before the reunion, they came to me. Oh, we need someone to bake a cake, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, you know what? I'll bake the cake and I'll send it. They were like, no, if you send this cake, it will smash. And you know how you are, you're a perfectionist. You're very upset if you see the pictures. I was like, okay, no problem. I'll carry the cake and I'll take it there. And so I get there and then Kingsley and I start talking again. And we somehow become friends. We get chatty and don't just start talking. And so one day, after a few weeks, a few months now of being friends, I remember that day I couldn't go to my church. I used to attend another church, not his. And so I couldn't go to my church that day. And I realized that I don't know why I couldn't go. But then I remember that, Kingsley pastors a church. Let me go and visit. Let me even go and see if he's really now a real, real, real pastor. Because he was a bad boy when we were in school. I was like, hope he's not even a scam. Let's go and find out. As I went to his church, I got in. And interestingly, he said he knew I was going to come that day. So I came to church that day. And after the service, he said to me, oh, you know what? After service, just wait for me. I'll drop you off. I have a few meetings. So I said, okay, no problem. So I sat down and I was waiting for him. So while I was waiting for him, remember at this time we had become friends. So while I was waiting for him, I was just praying. And for some reason, I felt that same presence of God. I knew my name, that God wanted to say something, and it was something that had to do with my life and my destiny. And so I was in one little corner somewhere, and I was just reading the Bible. And I was reading about David, where David was anointed king. And Samuel had come to Jesse's house, and all Jesse's brothers had been brought forth. And every single one of them, the Lord had said no. And so 1 Samuel 16 from verse 11. So Samuel now asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And then Jesse answered him that there is still the youngest and he's taking care of the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. And verse 12 said, so he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. And the same experience that I had, the same encounter, I kid you not, the same encounter where I saw a yellow highlighter pen mark out, rise and anoint him, for this is the one, I knew. And so I was looking at that scripture and I was wondering, what's going on again, Lord? And the Holy Spirit said, what position is Kingsley in his family, from verse 11? What position is he? I said, he's the youngest. He said, what do pastors do? They take care of the sheep. They tend the sheep. And he said, arise, anointing, for he's the one. I said, ah, He said he's the youngest. Pastors take care of the sheep. Arise, anoint him. And I was like, for a few minutes, literally had my mouth open. I'm like, no, no, Holy Spirit, rough play. Like, you can't do this to me. You can't bring me from Mr. Romantic to Mr. Unromantic is too mild. This romantic, aroma, like, I don't know. I'm like, what? You're going to take me from a man who opens doors for me, sends me poems, sends me mixtapes. Yes, I just told someone my age. Does all those kind of romantic things. Sends me flowers just because it's Thursday. That kind of guy. To a guy who we're going out, because we're friends now. And I said to him, you can't open door for me. Say, wait into your hand. That kind of man. Lord, he's not the one. And the funny thing is, because I also had a lot of things that was, you know, that I had built my mind around. Things that I like to call blockages. Things that, you know, have become God to you. So, God, you can do all of this, but don't touch this one. So I say, God, you can give me anybody to marry, but make sure he's not Igbo. Make sure he's not a pastor. Make sure he's not fair in complexion, and make sure he's not hairy. Those were the things I said, God, these ones, don't touch them. And it seemed like that was everything God was pointing at, because that's literally me describing my husband. And I just said to God, no, you can't do this to me. But you know, I learned how to trust God. I learned to trust him because he knows exactly what he's doing. He has a plan for our lives. He's not confused. He's not stranded. He knows exactly what he's doing. And so that was how God showed me clearly who my husband was. A few weeks down the line, he proposes. And today, here we are, 3 children after, the rest is history. Now, however, after saying all of this, I must say this. Please don't use something as important as marriage to do trial and error when it comes to hearing God. You must hear God in the little things. These little things. And God is interested in everything. Because as I've said this now, some people may say, if God does not speak to me like he spoke to somebody, that I will not marry somebody. No. How has God been speaking to you? For my husband, he didn't have anything that dramatic. Maybe God knew he had to pull up all the stops to get my attention. But for some other people, it's just the inner peace of God, like my husband. He knew. He just knew that this was the person that he was supposed to spend the rest of his life with. So for you, I don't know how God speaks to you, but you must know how God speaks to you. And please don't start with something this important that affects other people's lives, because all that's attached to you. All that destiny is attached to yours. When you're picking a spouse, you're not just picking a spouse for yourself. You're picking a father for your children. You're picking a mother for your children. So it's important that it's not something you take lightly or that you joke with. As I end today, I just want to pray with you. And I want to pray a prayer that I pray all the time for myself, because I think it's so essential for everyone. And I want to pray with you that God will give you seeing eyes and hearing ears. And Proverbs 20 verse 12 tells us that the hearing ear and the seeing eye, that the Lord has made both of them. So I'm going to pray for you today quickly, that God will give you ears that hear and eyes that see, so that you will not make a mistake in choosing your spouse. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word and the entrance of your word. It brings light. It brings light. Lord, everything that I have spoken to your people today, let it bring light. But more importantly today, Lord, I ask that from now on, they will have hearing ears and seeing eyes. They will hear you clearly. They will see everything, every signal, every sign that you place in their path for them not to miss what you have called them to do. Lord, I ask also that they will not be stubborn like the mule or ass. They will not need you to use circumstances to force them into doing what it is that is good for them. Lord, I ask, oh God, they will also have a heart that understands, so that they will not miss it in the end, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I hope you were blessed today. God bless you. And yes, I know that you can have the marriage of your dreams, but you must trust God. God bless you.